cathedral-like tent here in Keswick, in the matchless beauty of sky and hills and water, in the blue and green of England's Lake District. Once, Jesus fed 5,000 hungry people on just such a green mountain in the Holy Land. But on another hill, the green hill outside the city wall, called Calvary, on Good Friday, there Jesus was all alone. All the disciples had forsaken him and fled. And yet, speaking of his cross, Jesus said, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The cross of Christ draws all men, not without exception, but certainly without distinction. Because to the Lord Jesus, color and class and even cash are unimportant differences. What's the deepest meaning, therefore, of the cross of Christ, which is the heart of the Christian message to the world? Well, the Lord Jesus told us himself, of course, that he was going to die upon the cross, so it was clearly not just an unexpected accident. In fact, he said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." To ransom someone is to pay the price that lets them out of prison and into freedom. And here's the road to the deepest freedom of the human soul. Jesus Christ's death upon the cross didn't only show the world that he loved everyone, but actually dealt there on the green hill once and for all with the world's sin. There the representative man, Jesus, bore the sins of humanity. Peter put it this way: "Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." The cross draws people to Jesus, and they find that he is the only way to God. Our Lord put it this way once. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I remember a nurse in England once put it to me this way: "For too long I've been trying to get to God, but I've been bypassing Jesus Christ. Now I see that I must come to Jesus, and he alone can bring me to God." And she came and found Christ. But Christianity isn't just a regional religion. It's a faith for the world. This is a world broadcast, and we here in Keswick send our greetings around the world. I wish you were here. This great tent above us with the sun shining through it, billowing like some great galleon. You may even hear the creaking of the wind in the roof. It's a tremendous place. Come next year. Warm welcome. Now, the Christian faith is for all men. Jesus said, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." I remember during the Keswick Convention last year, I was overseas in East Africa. A young African boy doing housework where I was staying heard I was a Christian and came up to me and said so simply and clearly, "Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he has forgiven my sins." I shook him by the hand and I said, "And Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he's forgiven my sins." And we found that note of real reality in Christian friendship and fellowship. It's at the cross that all stand equal as sinners before God, and all can find the forgiveness of their sins, and so can be made right with God. The cross of Christ draws all men to him, all men without distinction. Have you thought, however, of exactly the opposite side of this coin? The cross of Christ divides all men. What do I mean? Well, when Jesus died upon the green hill of Calvary, there was a thief crucified on each side of him, and one went down into the darkness of a Christless eternity, tragically refusing to recognize his sin, his need, his Savior. But the other thief turned to Jesus and said, in the agony of his own crucifixion,
This man has done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingly power. And Jesus turned to him and said, Today you'll be with me in paradise. The cross divides, darkness or light, death or life. Going out to Australia last summer through the United States, coming back through Africa, Greece, Rome, I saw some of the great divisions of the world. Divisions of color and wealth, of politics and religion, of culture and temperament. And yet still the deepest division is the division made by the cross of Christ. The division between sinners who have found God at the cross through trusting Jesus and sinners who are lost without God and without Christ. If you fly high above the great divide, above the Andes in South America, you're reminded that a drop of rain falling into a tiny stream on the Andes flows out all the way, either to the great Atlantic on the east or else to the Pacific on the west, all depending on which side of the great divide that drop of rain may fall. The cross of Jesus Christ is the great divide in the world. Now, this broadcast may reach you anywhere, but there are still only two sides of the cross. The side of sunshine, where you find your sins are forgiven and you experience peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, or the side of shadow, where you stumble on in proud but tragic self-reliance, with God's sunshine behind you and ever longer shadows stretching out in front of you. What is so wonderful about the Christian faith is this, that it really does offer you the best of both worlds. Of course, a Christian, and many do, face persecution and danger and even death for his faith. And I've met Christians from various parts of the world in Keswick, even in these last 24 hours, who've come from parts of the world where it's desperately dangerous to be a believing Christian. But the friendship of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of peace with God, and the assurance of God's guidance in your life makes all the sacrifice worthwhile. And the risen, ascended Lord Jesus welcomes you to heaven at the end of the road. It really is the best of both worlds to be a Christian. No wonder Christians enjoy singing, as we've just been singing, Hallelujah, praise the everlasting King. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus Christ as your own friend and master. I've proved his friendship through many years. I commend him to you as a wonderful Savior. And so first, the cross draws all men to Christ. Secondly, the cross divides all men about Christ. But also the cross demands action from all men concerning Christ. The thousands of Christians who are met here this week in Keswick haven't just come for the fun of it all. They've come from all over the world to face the challenge of Christ upon their wills, the demand of the God of the Bible on them, and a desire to know more fully God's will for their lives, and to seek a deeper infilling of the Holy Spirit of God for a greater usefulness for Jesus. One of our great English evangelists was called home to God this summer. His name, Tom Rees, is known around the world. He asked that in his funeral this point should be made. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last. This takes up the theme of a great missionary to Africa, C.T. Studd, wealthy landowner, English cricketer, who said, If Jesus Christ be Son of God and died for me, nothing is too hard for me to do for him. Last summer in Africa, I met young missionaries who'd faced the same challenge of the consecration of their lives to Christ and their fellow men during this same Keswick Convention in years gone by here. Now, they're in Africa, seeking to serve the African church and to win Africans to faith in Jesus Christ. Once again, the convention will end with this great challenge to whole-time service at home and abroad. May I speak personally across the world to you for a moment? I wonder whether the cross of Jesus Christ has ever made real demands upon your life. Jesus said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Last year, the Archbishop of York, Dr. Coggan, came and spoke at Keswick. Years ago as a student, he'd been a pianist here. He finished by saying, but don't forget, Christ touches you at the point of your will. At the point of your will. If we've never come to Christ in penitence and faith, we're lost without him. What must we do? Turn over a new leaf? That doesn't undo past sins, does it? First, we must repent of our sins, humbly, honestly confessing them to God. This touches our wills. Then we must turn to Jesus Christ and trust him as our personal sin-bearer. We were doing a BBC broadcast from London some time ago, emphasizing this need of personal committal to Jesus Christ, come what may. A woman wrote in for a booklet to help her to go on in the Christian faith, and she said, my husband and I knelt beside our kitchen sink, yes, right by their kitchen sink, in their kitchen, and prayed the prayer you gave us about committing our lives to Christ. I wonder if you've ever symbolically knelt within the very setting of your ordinary, everyday home life or work life and asked Christ to come into your heart and life. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Our Lord paid the penalty of your sins when he died upon his cross. Will you come in heart and mind and will to his cross today and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I turn from my sin. I trust you as my sin-bearer. I take you as my Lord and Master, and I will serve you all the days of my life. Will you join with us in the dedication of your life unreservedly to Jesus Christ, as many of us will be doing this week? Use what Christian help you get wherever you are. But if you're far from help, simply write, and we'll gladly send you Christian literature in whatever language is your own native tongue. Morris Wood, Convention Lodge, Keswick, K-E-S-W-I-C-K, Cumberland, England. And so may the living Lord Jesus bless you richly wherever you are.